Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent and use the mobile devices or the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit red, as you will lose your place in the queue. And members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And at this stage, I'd like to welcome Harry Corku, who's on my left, Acting Assistant Director for Healthy Living. And we also have, tonight joining us is Dougie Cousins and Dale Heaney, from the Department of Education, who we'll be hearing from shortly. Moving on to item number one. So have we any apologies?
Or we haven't received any. All right. Hi, Rob.
Okay. All right. Declarations of interest then. Have we any? No, have we enough? Moving on to number three, the action sheet arising from the last meeting. We have pages one, two, and three. Yeah. Any queries, questions, comments? All right, so we're moving on then to item number four. Oh, sorry, proposer and seconder, for the action sheet.
I'd propose.
And I'm happy to second.
Oh, Councillor Helen Capsler, it's okay. All right, then we're moving on to number four, is the presentation from the Department of Education. And Andy.
Sorry, just to come in to set a bit of context. So Dougie and Dale have joined us tonight. This was following on from a presentation that Dougie gave to the Community Plan and Partnership Board at their last meeting in June on Department of Education's important work with regards school attendance rates and the need really for a whole community-based approach for this. So we welcome them tonight to present the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time to allow us to come and speak to you. Presentation's up there. Put it into context. Since in a post-pandemic world, you can see that attendance rates have been dropping. You'll not be able to read the detail on it, but you can see by the lines that whether it be primary school or post-primary, attendance rates have been decreasing since 2018, 2019. And we've been trying to turn the curve. We're trying to make a change to that because ultimately we need our pupils at school because that's the best place for them to learn. As you can see from this particular graph, 10% or more pupils. Sorry. Percentages of pupils with 10% or more total absence since 2017-2018 to the 21-22 year has spiked. You can see how it has rocketed. I put that into context. What does it mean to miss 10% of a school year? You're only at school 185 days in a year. So 10% is 19 days, 2 to 3 days per month. Children are missing school. And to us, that's not acceptable. You know, every effort should be made to ensure that a child is attending school regularly. In 2017, we introduced an absence tier model. And this was based on an American model, which we'd come across. And at the bottom of the tier, you can see that that's where we want the bulk of our students to be, in that tier where it is not the 4.9% absence. We recognize children get ill. We all get ill at some point. I lost my voice for 2 or 3 weeks, and it just happens. But we want the majority of children to be in that green band at the bottom. And we introduced this with a view that principals would lift it. They can run the reports off their school information management system, and they can see those children that are moving from the regular attendance into the at-risk, which is the lighter green, moving then into the chronic and obviously into the severe chronic, which is 20% or more absence. The idea behind it is that schools can then put early interventions in place for those particular pupils that are moving into those at-risk categories. We also, within that particular guidance, we suggest that the Board of Governors should be taking a greater interest. And part of the attendance policy of all schools should be that Board of Governors has a standing agenda item of attendance. And I'm very conscious that you guys as councillors will sit on one or many boards of governors. And it's an important feature that attendance should be discussed, and school principals and schools should be held to account for their attendance levels. And where pupils are falling into that at-risk category, then every effort should be made within the school to do it. Now, I don't want to create a totally bad picture. We are seeing green shoots. We are seeing slight improvements year on year, but it's not moving to the level that we want it to go to. And hence, we're putting a number of measures in place to do that. There are currently 98,000 children with chronic or severe chronic, so in that red and amber category. So they're missing, what's that, 2 to 3 days per month plus per year out of that 185 days. So there's a significant cohort of children that we need to try and reach. And the question is, if they're not in school, where are they? We know with the recent social unrest, we heard it on media, that young children were out causing antisocial behaviour. So if they're not in school, where exactly are they? We would encourage principals, parents, carers to understand and know where their children are. School is the best place for a pupil. School is the safest place for many pupils. And we know that whenever they've got, tips or that, their trauma-informed practice, et cetera, school can be the best place. Some come from domestic backgrounds where it's dangerous for a child to be in the house. So where are they if they're not in school? And that's the question that we would ask. I'll give you another startling fact. In the current, the year that has just gone, we're going into a new academic year, but in the year that has just gone, 65 children didn't attend school at all in that year, at 0% attendance. And that gives us a worry, for all sorts of reasons, whether that be child protection, safeguarding, or, just from an educational, we want children to be help to be learning and succeeding and to be happy. And ultimately, that is our strategy. And if they're not in school, they can't be doing that. Illness does cause a problem. Illness, and we've seen a rise in emotional-based school avoidance since pandemic. And we're taking measures to try and address that by having more relationship interventions within school. But another two areas that cause concern for us is no reason provided where a pupil, I'll come back to that in a wee second, where a pupil doesn't give a reason to the principal or to the teacher as to why they were missing, a parent doesn't send a note in, or family holidays, particularly at primary school, where cheap holidays are always available in June and people take their kids out of school for that cheap holiday. Those are the areas that we are particularly focusing on in this particular academic year coming in. We know, we can see from our statistics that free school meal absence bans does have a, are significant and appreciate. You can't necessarily read the statistics on that. But the greater that the FSME and the deprivation within that particular school, the higher rate of absence is there. So we're encouraging schools and principals. We publish this information. This is lifted off our website. We're encouraging principals to go in and look and say, right, well, where's my school in comparison with other schools within Northern Ireland? And they can look very easily across the table to measure where they're at against other schools with similar FSME bands. Now, I'm sure you're interested where Newry Morning Down is. And the recent statistics that we have is the national average, or the Northern Ireland average for pupil attendance at primary is 93.3. Newry Morning Down sits slightly below that at 93.2. At post-primary, the average is 90.3, and Newry Morning Down sits at 90.1. So there's a wee bit of room to get up there to the average within Northern Ireland. But we would encourage you as a Board of Governor to hold your principal to account, to ask them questions about attendance, to see what's being done in the school about attendance and how active and proactive they are. As I said to you, the main reasons are no reason provided and family holidays. And you can see there, again, that the trend lines are increasing year on year. Our challenges, well, there's been a serious attitudinal change since the pandemic. Many of us are working hybridly. So there's an attitude with parents to say, well, do you know what? I don't have to go to the office, so therefore you don't have to go to school. And many parents are allowing children to stay off for no real reason. So there is a change there that, well, sure, you learnt at home during COVID, sure, it'll be all right if you miss a day. And actually, we need to change that mindset back again, that school is the best place to learn. We're in that, as I've mentioned already, that challenging context of emotional-based school avoidance. We can't deny that children are much more aware of their emotions, and COVID has definitely had an impact on it. And we need to put measures in place to address that. Parents, families, ACEs, trauma-informed practice all have a factor in causing anxiety for children in a school environment. Our challenges as well for school, teachers and system, there's a sense of frustration on the part of schools because ultimately they don't have an awful lot in their toolbox. So if a child plays up or if there's behavioural issues or if there's issues at all, it's easier at times for a teacher to say, do you know what, you're suspended. It's easier to say, go home, because you're not disrupting the rest of the class. And we need to get away from that as well, that we need to try and overcome that, to give more tools to principals, to give more tools to teachers, to allow them to manage those particular challenges they have in the classroom. As I mentioned, suspensions and expulsions are easy. It's the easy route out to get rid of the problem in the classroom. But we need to move away from that. And I've seen firsthand in Scotland where they have said, we're not suspending, we're not expelling or suspending that particular person. We're putting them on to another course that might help them improve or do something. You know, and it could be vocational. It could be one in particular one was canoeing. You know, it was something that particular child showed interest in that allowed them to re-engage back into the education system rather than just throwing them out. Children being unofficially off-rolled, and that's linked to the suspension and expulsions. They're not necessarily officially suspended, but they're told to go home and not come back the rest of the day. And we don't know about those. And the question is, if we don't know from a statistic point of view where they are, and a parent doesn't know that a child has been sent home, where are they? There's a safeguarding issue. And that's what I've mentioned there as well, the safeguarding and child protection. The industrial action was a challenge. Now, thankfully, the teaching staff has ended, and we're looking to see improvements now as we move into September. But we do have an ongoing industrial action with Education Welfare Service, who would be responsible for when children are referred to the Education Authority, they would be responsible for picking those children up. And we know that there's a problem there, but we're hoping within the next few weeks that that will be resolved, and we'll be putting new measures in place to have early intervention within the Education Welfare Service to get those children early so that they're not reaching that red point where we've seen that they're being addressed early. We do have funding challenges, as we all do, throughout the whole of Northern Ireland. There are significant funding challenges. But what works? Good, strong leadership in schools work. Close educational engagement or educating with parents work. And I'll make reference to an example of that in a few minutes. Creating a positive environment, relationship practice. Relational practice is very important. Where EA have introduced restorative practice. Rather than putting the child out, they're using restorative practice to try and win that child round, to let them see the consequences of their particular actions. We need to try and remove those barriers to learning, whether that be emotional, whether that be physical, because I know that a lot of children, you know, have been rehoused, etc. You know, under the ASR scheme, they get moved out of hotels at the drop of a hat and moved to somewhere else. We know that there are those barriers, so it could be emotional, it could be physical, it could also be financial, and school uniform is obviously being consulted on as we speak as well. So we need to try and overcome those obstacles and those barriers. We need to have strategic monitoring and reporting and evaluation of where attendance is and what our children are doing. So that's both in school and for us at a system level. And we need to know where our children are and that they're not getting into the wrong environment or antisocial behaviour or whatever else. And we need to incentivise coming to school and decentivise the other things that are distracting them from coming to school. So there's a number of things that do work, and in some schools and in some pockets we see it working exceptionally well. It's just taking that good practice and sharing that across the board, which is what we're wanting to do as well. So what are we doing? Done this in reverse order. We will be coming out to consult in the next, hopefully the next couple of months, on our Miss School Miss Out strategy. It has been rewritten in a post-COVID world, and it's now going to be Attendance Matters, with a much more focus, greater focus on the emotional side and on the relational practice. So we will be doing that. We hoped we would have been out by now, but things move slowly sometimes and we haven't got out as quickly as we would have liked to. Next week, we will be issuing a self-evaluation and practical guide to schools. And this has been developed in conjunction with EA, where schools have used good practice. And we've put it into a document, but it also allows schools to self-evaluate where they're at. Are they good with engaging with parents? Are they good with whatever it happens to be? And if not, the guide will then help them to develop that. So again, as you're with your Board of Governor hat on, you know, encourage your schools to use that and to put it into practice. We've also promoted good practice through Knockmore Primary Attendance Pilot. This was organically formed. The children themselves created this, and it's on our website and it's available. All the resources are all available, and they created a culture of hero, attendance hero, here on time, every day. Sorry, here, every day, ready to learn, on time, hero. And the children have bought into that, and it's incentivized, and they improved their pupil attendance by 3% over a three-month period, which is significant. And the resources are there for any school to lift. So they are. So that's what we're doing currently. Mentioned the relationship practice. We've got nurture. We're investing in a number of nurture units, and we financially we'd love to be able to do more. But a nurturing environment is definitely something that helps to improve. We need to address bullying in the school, We need to get away, get that culture removed, and we need to promote that good practice. So, sorry, that's a bit small in the writing, but the opportunities. Education Welfare Service did the review, and all being well, when we resort the Industrial Action Act, that review will be implemented. Things like social workers in schools, and I know there are a few, one down in Newry has got them, homeschool liaison coordinators, all have a role to play. The end-to-end review of school improvement is ongoing, and that, again, will help to streamline things and to remove barriers. Board of Governors have laboured that point already. They have a huge role and responsibility in overseeing pupil attendance within the schools that they're involved in. Wraparound support for the child, whether that be you nurture or whatever it happens to be, they're all useful tools and useful things to provide for that particular child. Behaviour support is another example. The big one, and this is where Dale will be able to answer questions on, the Minister recently announced RAISE. And RAISE is a local place-based solution, and Newry is one of the areas identified, where within the local community, you can identify the needs, and from that, you would be able to tap into the RAISE pot of money through the finance that was supported through Shared Island, and tap into that to improve educational outcomes for children. Councils, employers, FE colleges, youth workers, this isn't just a school problem. This is everybody needing to work together collaboratively to address attendance issues, because attendance is only a symptom of a greater problem. We also need to look at curriculum delivery. We're very aware that children disengage at the end of June because, well, sure, they're doing nothing. We need to have something in place, and I mentioned that Scotland model where they can engage back into school in something that they're interested in. This is where employers and employer marketplaces can come in to schools, help them with real life projects. There's no reason why employers couldn't be using school kids to help them to engage and to learn the skills for future employment as well. So there's opportunities, and that's just a few. But ultimately, it's something that we all need to work together on, because we can't expect a child just to turn up at school because we've asked them to. We need to help them, and we need to create the environment and the culture that they'll want to come and that they'll enjoy coming. So thank you for your time. Happy to take questions. Dale can take questions on RAISE there as well, should you have any. I know I've just very quickly touched on it, but ask any questions that you may have. The attorneys.
Thanks very much for that there. Am I on, Emma? Yeah, thanks very much for that, Dougie. I understand the importance of attendance, and I have been sort of toes campaigning against the Education Authority for a while now in relation to getting kids to school, because there isn't any places for them. And having worked with an EOTIS for 20-odd years, I can see the benefit also of schools not for everyone. It's not, and the benefits of not putting the pressure on the young people having to do GCSEs as well. I suppose my question to you is, I was a youth worker within the EOTIS, and the youth workers were pushed out of it. I'm kind of wondering why all of a sudden now it's important that youth workers are part of the solution.
For me, we've been looking at place-based approach for quite a few years, and I don't know why. I can't give you an answer as to why youth workers were pushed out by any means. I personally think they have a vital role to play. I don't know whether Dale wants to come in on that or whatever, but it's vital that we all wrap around that particular child. I appreciate as well that school isn't necessarily for everyone, and that you know, GCSEs aren't necessarily for everyone, but we need to find an education that is going to meet the needs of those particular children. We can't let our children down by sending them out in the world with no qualifications, with no, and that's not, we hold ourselves to GCSEs and A-levels, unfortunately, within the department. But, you know, vocational qualifications in my mind, and I'm speaking personally, I have no issue with. Apprenticeships, absolutely, I have no issue with, because I think it sets kids up for the real life, real world, real life. Ideal. You want to come in?
I was just to add that, you know, I do think it's important that we have a range of professionals and a range of options to support children. We heard about Unks and Boxing Club, you know, on the video and TV today, and how it has worked effectively with Lavery Community College, for example, in providing ways of learning from adults, not just teachers. So that was very much a youth leadership type program. So I would agree with you, it's an important part of the solution.
Okay, we'll put it out to the floor. Questions? So, thanks for Devon.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much for the detail you presented there for us this evening. You see the stats up there. I am hearing locally, particularly at that secondary school level, about the school refusers and how that definitely has rocketed sort of post-COVID and post-pandemic. You did mention that Scottish model, which I'm actually really interested in maybe reading a wee bit up on that in terms of re-energising, getting people back into the system again. Are there elements of that Scottish model that's going to be in the consultation that's coming out, the strategy that's coming out for consultation soon, or is it something...
Yeah, I think the outline of what relational practice looks like on the ground essentially mirrors what Scotland and particularly what Glasgow has done. So the leaders in Glasgow were able to reduce their expulsions to almost zero and did similarly well with suspensions in terms of significant reductions due to their keenness to understand what was driving misbehaviour or poor behaviour amongst children. Both at primary and post-primary. So it was taking the time for teachers and for other professionals to understand what were the trauma within the children's lives that was causing this misbehaviour and to understand better what they could do to support them. So hopefully you'll see that reflected in the strategy, which I think is much more relational focused than the school aside, for example. Yes?
Yeah.
Thanks very much for your presentation, much appreciated. It was very informative. I suppose, coming from my point of view, I do work in a school, not education authority employed, not Department of Education employed, so no conflict of interest, but I suppose I do see firsthand the impact as a mother as well, that attendance is so important, and whenever the children aren't in school, having one day, 2 days off a week whenever they're coming back in, you know, not only does that affect how the teacher is delivering something, but it always also obviously impacts the child's learning of that within the school as well. So I suppose it's more really of a comment more than a question. I think schools do need support. I think school managers, SMTs do need support. It's something that's a very difficult thing to address and for them to manage as well. Hopefully the EWO industrial an action will be resolved soon as well, because I know the lack of that support, or you know what I mean, that it is lacking. We have a shared EWO right across, you know what I mean? So even to have that support, even from an advice point of view, I know we are trying to avoid the suspensions, the expulsions, but that's not always, you know what I mean, you're trying to strike the right balance there for the needs of the other children, but like that, you want the best for the child. There's always a reason for, you know, behaviour that leads you to that part, you know, as well. So I think that they do need support. Schools do need support, and it's good to see that that is, you know, that is common as well. And I suppose as well, I think it's vitally important that, you know, parents, and we're all the same, from their very young age, realise the importance of attending school. School's not just something that they do 5 days a week. There's a social aspect, the emotional aspect, the education as well, but it's in around. So, you know, it needs to be across departmental, you know what I mean, Department of Health as well. You need to be, you know, right from that very early years of like the preschool and the health visitor, whatever as well. They all need to be singing from the same hymn sheet that this is vitally important. But look, very informative presentation. Like Laura, the Scottish model would be very interested, you know what I mean, to see how that would be rolled out. This different children learn different ways. Some are very, you know, vocational, go down their road hands on, or some are very, you know, like to sit with the books in front of me, you know. So, but no, look, thanks very much on behalf of our party. A very informative presentation.
Councillor Lee Sojourner.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for the presentation. It's very informative, as other colleagues have stated. My question would be, I suppose, is there any plans for direct support for the parents who are struggling managing attendance with kids that aren't going to school? Because I know that absolutely school needs support. And you know, using likes of the homeschool liaison, coordinators, social workers, and school nurse and all that. But what about the department in terms of like providing direct advice for parents, that sort of thing, like a helpline, that sort of thing? Thanks.
Question. Yeah, I think this will always be a challenge, particularly for those parents without the confidence or perhaps had a poor experience of education themselves. We do have support through the Education Welfare Service, of course, and we would want to see that improving as time goes on. The RAISE programme that Dougie mentioned, which I feel there's probably not enough time to cover tonight, given your time pressures, does offer the opportunity for place-based solutions to be identified and supported financially. So the RAISE programme is a new place-based intervention program which will be coming out to talk to schools and communities about. And Uri, of course, is one of those areas mentioned amongst 15 in total areas across Northern Ireland. So we think that one of the conversations that needs to be had is attendance and what the pressures that families are facing are, and how can we support parents more effectively in supporting their children to go to school regularly. So I do think that investment, which has been funded through the Shared Ireland Fund, will be very helpful in terms of how we can support parents more effectively.
Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you. Just say thank you so much for that. And attendance is really important, and my mum will laugh because I was not the best attendee in school, but I absolutely appreciate how important it is. Just, I suppose, off the back of Councillor Lee Sojourner's comments about RAISE, is there any way that we could potentially, if that's through Shared Ireland, is that something, again, with Democratic Services, that we could get sent through to us? Because I think it is really important that if there are tools, and Roisin mentioned schools and parents, so I think it is one of those things that obviously there's a lot of component parts there, just so that we can, as councillors, provide tools to all of those people and actually know that there are other options out there. And then I suppose the second question, just in terms of, I suppose we're expecting from Stormont a programme for government, and I know certainly that Miss School, Miss Out was kind of in the 2019 outcome framework. Just in terms of your conversations that you've had with the Department of Education and what sort of outcomes you would like to see in terms of attendance, is that a discussion that you've had in terms of goals that are going to be set within, fingers crossed, the programme for government that we'll get in the next couple of months?
Well, in terms of RAISE, first of all, we shared a presentation, which happy to, for that, obviously, be shared with council members, and happy to come back and provide a focused presentation on that. Our presentations, our engagement, rather, with schools and with the organisations in the Uri area, for example, we hope those will begin from September onwards, and those will be locality-based. So across the 15 different areas, we want to have that engagement over the next year or more to talk about a strategic plan for the new area and what would that look like. So attendance, parental engagement, et cetera, will be some of the topics that will come up. Where we are in terms of programme for government is a little bit more challenging to answer because we're not involved in that process directly, as said by the Executive Office. And it tends to be quite high level, so not every policy would necessarily be reflected at programme for government level. But I think increasingly your collaboration is being talked about across departments with local councils, local government, as a very important feature of how we do things. Because, you know, we'll be present in an area like Newry, as will the Department of Health, as will the voluntary community sector. And we want to work with all of those partners so that we're spending our money more wisely. And so joining up how we resolve these societal problems, I think, is going to be one of the potential solutions. So hopefully you'll see some of that reflected in the language within Programme for Government. Hopefully, as a consequence, we'll see attendance continue to improve as Dougie has outlined. So I'm hopeful at least that that work is at an early enough stage that you can all hopefully contribute, particularly to the RACE program when it comes to engineering.
Councillor Jackson.
Again for the presentation tonight. It was very interesting, and having three children in school myself, I can definitely relate to a lot of the points raised tonight. I think I just want to make a comment tonight. I think a major factor in all of this would be the financial pressure on families, especially this time, and I think that's borne out through school uniforms and all the different kids need for school and just the ongoing pressures and I think that even bears out, even you mentioned school holiday or family holidays and the last week of June, and I think we can see that. Even I can think of my own kids' class at school where the last week of June half the class isn't there, and I think one of the major factors of that is the price of summer holidays, family holidays, where there's vast savings to be made if a family has that temptation of taking the kids out the last week of June compared to from the 1st of July on, you know. So I think the financial pressure on families is definitely a lot to do with some of these decisions being made. But thank you very much tonight for the presentation. Thank you.
Right. I think that's it. Okay. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Moving on. Item number 5 is the DA Forms update, and I'll hand it over to Andy.
Thank you, Chair. So members will have the report with the appendices from the relevant DEA meetings. Some of them have taken place over the summer months, so it is a bit of a catch up on the DEA action sheet. So happy to take questions.
Mr. Hall.
Just happy to propose.
Happy second.
Thank you. Item number 6 is the leisure closure arrangements report for 2024-25.
Thank you, Chair. So this report just sets out the schedule of closure arrangements on an annual basis for the leisure centres. This is for essential maintenance and staff training, and it's just in line with previous year's closure arrangements. So happy to, we're seeking approval on these, but happy to take any questions.
Okay, Councillor Mathers.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose I'm just asking, Andy, that we have some idea, if possible, around the reopening time of the swimming pool. I recall when this was first mentioned about the pool closing in Uri, September time was mentioned as the sort of target date to get it reopened. But, you know, from what I'm hearing on the ground, it could be well past that date. Can you give us some sort of idea as to, in your head, where you think, you know, we might be back to seeing people back in the pool again, please?
Yeah, happy to take that through the chair. So I was down on site actually on Friday, and there's a lot of work going on in the site. The tiles have been removed, and it's in a process now of the site retiled again. So there's a number of meetings with the contractor over the next number of weeks, and we're looking to arrange potentially site visits for the area councillors to have a look at the results. Also, in the next week or two, I'm going to be meeting with club representatives, of the swimming clubs, and then also with school groups in early September, just to sort of establish how council can support them whilst the pool is closed. It's in terms of timelines for reopening. Say it's we're working closely with the contractor just to understand, there's thousands and thousands of tiles due to come onto that site very shortly, and for them to come. So I'm happy to bring an update, and it'll likely be early September that we'll bring an update to councillors in terms of times.
Councillor Finn.
Yeah, it's just
And I suppose in the same vein, I'm sure Aidan is getting queries as well. I've had a number of people who have potentially gone to another swimming pool that are now being asked if they want to extend membership. I suppose if it is possible at all to give an idea, and I don't know, and contractors and all of that, when work is ongoing, it's difficult to do that. But I think in terms of trying to reduce costs for people is really important who want to be able to take their children swimming, and if they have gone somewhere else, maybe say on a 3-month basis over the summer, just to give some public acknowledgement or idea of if they need to do that. Because I know I've had a couple of people saying, should I extend a membership on this, or are we going to be, you know, sticking to the September deadline? So I think it's just really important that we make sure that people are kept informed as to if it is going to be taking longer, that they know that, and if it isn't, then that they're not sort of spending more money on something for the pool then to be reopened. Because I think we run the risk then of losing people permanently to somewhere, or if at least we're keeping them informed, then we know where they stand, I suppose.
Fully take those points on board, and very happy to work with them in line with the timelines. The purpose or the process of getting the tiles put back in the centre was always going to be around 6 months. But I think work started in sort of June time. So as I say, we're pushing hard. We want to get the pool opened. Not have to look at this type of work again ever, really, until there's a full refurbishment of the site. So it's in all our best interest to get it right and get it right the first time. But I'm very happy to give those updates on a public basis. Is it going to be open in September? It's unlikely at this stage. It's just stating the facts at this stage, but we'll give a more fuller update in terms of timelines early next month.
Yeah, propose or second? I propose, yeah.
Items 7 and 8 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. We have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, the leasing of council land. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Jackson, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, to approve to progress the council lands and facility at Carnegie Road, Kilkeel, through the council support and community leasing policy. And item 8, the delivery partner for Be Active for Life programmes. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgeoner, to note the contents of the officer's report. And then items 9 and 10 are for noting. We have a proposer and seconder. Is that right?
Propose.
Okay. That's it? Oh, sorry, yeah. Mr. Finnegan.
Thank you. Yeah, just very quickly, just want to welcome the correspondence from Minister Keith Archibald, and although it's not her department, I think we knew that at the time whenever we were writing off. She didn't shy away from that, and she was going to correspond or liaise certainly with the British government. And I think that needs to be addressed every year because of the importance of the community volunteer sector. And I look forward to the response from the Communities Minister. So thank you.
Didn't there be anything else? Thanks very much.
Thank you.